You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Man, that's the government. Down the day. Giving honor to God. Without him, I am nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing.
Amen.
Give honor to our pastor, associate ministers, officers, musicians, visiting, family. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And welcome. Now, this is how this is going to go. Let me just say this. So y'all already know how I do the commentary, the announcements, right? Right? Okay. So the same thing is going to be applied as we both search the truth and we listen to what God has to say to us through me. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. I just want to make sure everybody's with me because it looked like some people was like, well, what's she going to do? We're going to talk about the Lord, the good news. Amen?
All right.
Amen. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Now, before I get started, I have a riddle for you.
A riddle?
A riddle.
Here we go.
You might never know. So, I have two riddles. So, you're going to get a riddle in the beginning and at the end. Amen? Okay. So this is the riddle in the beginning. What is greater than God and more evil than the devil? The poor have it, the rich need it. And if you eat it, you will die. You want the answer now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
Don't feel bad. I was stumped too. Nothing.
Brother Joe, Elder Joe knew it.
Glory to God.
I'm gonna hang out with you, Elder.
Not nothing. Not nothing. Not one thing.
Amen.
Nothing is greater than God.
Amen.
Nothing. Keep that in your thought process.
I got you.
Okay?
Yep.
There's nothing greater. Amen.
Amen.
So this scripture here says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So where we're going to go today, we're going to go to the old. Because before we can jump into the new, we got to get to the O. We got to know exactly where it all started from. So, Pastor told me don't read a lot of scriptures, so I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures. But you're going to have some homework, too. I used to teach Sunday school. And vacation Bible school. And I always made sure that there was some homework. And it wasn't so much that you had to bring it back, but the homework is for you to do at
home.
Amen. So, if you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And our scriptures for Romans will be chapter 5, verse 12 through 21. And then your homework, since you guys are writing this down, your homework is going to be Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32. Amen.
Amen.
titles that I deal with, and I have been wrestling in my spirit. And I said, well, why not, Annie? We just gonna use all four of them. So I have the old man versus the new man.
Okay.
And I have distractions versus goals.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Distractions, we're going to define it. Distractions is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Goals, as the definition reads, the object of a person's ambition or effort, an aim or desired result. In the book of Romans, and I love this book, thank you, Pastor. In the book of Romans, we have to know the origin of the old man.
All right.
Our old nature. Okay? So, there's different parts. So, chapters 1 through the first part of 5, it talks about sins. S-I-N-S.
Right.
The old nature, and the results of our sins, S-I-N-S.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
But when we start with chapter 5, verse 12, now we're looking at sin, S-I-N, the old nature itself.
Yeah, come on.
One thing I've seen across the many years that I've watched preachers on television, on the pulpit, one thing they don't talk about, themselves. They talk about everything else. They talk about politics.
Right.
They talk about fire and brimstone.
Right.
They talk about the devil and how the devil can be defeated. But they don't talk about themselves. So when you leave after you have been motivated, inspired, and encouraged, when you leave, you're still wondering, how am I dealing with myself?
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That was my observation. I don't know, did anybody else get that observation too?
Right.
You left the same way you came.
Right.
What was that? How am I going to apply that to my next week? What am I going to do with that? I don't know. I didn't get the substance. So today we're going to talk about some substance. Something that you're going to take with you. Okay? Now, we're going to read Romans 5, starting with 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So what we're talking about, one man, we're talking about all men, mankind.
Right.
That's mankind. Everyone. Sin passed through. It was passed down.
Right.
It was passed down.
Right.
It was passed down from my mother to me, to my daughter, to my grandson. It's passed down.
Yeah.
Now, in the passing down, there's condemnation. Now, God created this world. In the beginning, He created this world. He created it with this in mind: beauty and order. That was His thought process. That was His goal. Remember, we talked about goals. That was God's goal, to have beauty and to have order. Now, then, after everything that he created man. That was his ultimate goal. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how we thought life was to begin, with man. However, that fall of man is how sin got passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. It was passed down. Amen?
Amen.
13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So we know there was sin already in the world because Adam created it.
Yep.
He was the first one to cause sin.
Amen.
And just so you know, there was no law in the beginning.
Amen.
Right, right.
Okay? Law didn't come along until the Mosaic laws came. That's when they had to establish some order around here.
Yeah.
We got to have some order. Now, if you notice, when Adam sinned, he became the fall of man. Now, God didn't kill him. He didn't kill Eve, nor did he kill the serpent. But there was punishment. There was punishment. So, once law came into place, then now we're going to charge you. You're going to have some punishment. You're going to die. You just going to die. That is when, let me explain this to you, because I had to read it a few times to understand. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. You can't be charged to death when there's no law. That's why God did not kill Adam and Eve and the serpent. That's why God did not kill Cain for killing Abel. He sent them out there, and what did he say? Don't touch him. Don't you touch him. You can't, he could not kill, condemn his creation, because there was no law. Now, don't get me wrong. You know right from wrong. He told you what to do and what not to do. And as we see further down, we're going to find out what that is. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. The result of Adam's actions is death. He brought it down. He dropped it down to the human race. That means everybody, and I'm taking a page out of your book, everybody is sentenced to death. It wasn't so much as the serpent, it was the man. The man himself caused all of the sin.
Right.
Yourself. The inner me. The inner me.
All right.
That's who the sinful person is. Amen?
Amen.
And so this transgression, as we were talking about, the sin, the transgression is the rebellion. Adam did not want to be cooped up, locked up where he was. He wanted to be able to do his own thing. Does that sound familiar? We don't want to be covered under the law. We don't want to follow the law. We want to do our own thing. Transgression. Rebellion. That's what we do. On a daily basis.
Yeah.
Amen.
My goodness.
Keep it real.
Amen. My goodness.
All right.
And over that, who is the figure of him that was to come. See, Adam was a type man that God created. Jesus is the anti-type. That means Adam was created, God created man. And if you see how cars work, they're concept cars. Those are prototypes. Those that they want to put out there and they want to test drive and see exactly how this car going to work. That's what God did. He brought Adam out. He wanted to see exactly how he was going to work. Now, don't get it twisted. Don't you think for 1 minute God did not know. Because he's all knowing. But like everyone else who we should be, he going to give you a chance. So he brings Adam out. And what does Adam do? Exactly what he knew Adam was going to do. Exactly. Because when they was forming him, Jesus said, now you know this ain't going to work, don't you? Holy Spirit said, yep. Show me.
Come on. Okay.
But he did it anyway because he had a goal.
God still had
a goal.
Yeah.
Now, Adam come in and be the distraction. Welcome.
Okay.
But he had a goal. And this is what Adam did. He was the distraction. So let's keep it moving. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Right. I was confused too when I read it. I really was. But this is what he's saying, in essence. Your offenses, that meant the fall of man, the fall of mankind, and your trespasses, that ain't got nothing on what God has planned for you through this free gift.
All right, now.
Now, this free gift here that he's talking about, it's like gratuity. When you go out to a restaurant and you pay and you have your services, and if a waiter is doing an awesome job, you leave them a tip. Well, here it is. He has a gratuity for you. Okay? Because of the trespass. Okay? Now, stay with that gratuity, because in 16 it says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, let me break that down for you. So we know that one, the one sin that he did caused all of us suffered for it.
Yeah.
That one sin, we all suffered for it. Now, and that's what our judgment was, death.
Yeah.
Condemnation. You're not supposed to be here.
Right.
You're not supposed to be here.
Right.
You're not supposed to be here. Okay? But the free gift is of many offenses. And when they talk about many offenses, they're talking about sins to come.
Right.
So that means all this went on. This was before we got here.
Yeah.
So they knew it was going to happen.
Amen.
So we knew.
Right.
He knew.
Right.
He knew that all of us was going to be sinning.
Right.
He already knew it. It was already ordained.
Right.
Already thought process already came out. Unto justification. Now, the free gift in verse 16 is different from the free gift in verse 15. as I said before, we talked about the gratuity. Okay? But this free gift here, this one right here, they're talking about a bestowment. Okay? The bestowment meant it's yours to be upon you. The honor that God has for you. How is that? Salvation.
Amen.
It's free.
Amen.
It's free. At the end of the day, you don't have to pay for it. It's free.
Yeah.
Right. Salvation is free.
Amen.
Now, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all gentlemen. They're all gentlemen. They have always been gentlemen. They don't change. So they're not going to force anything on you. That's why it's free. It's your choice.
Come on.
You do have one.
Amen.
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 Come on.
Now, and we're almost done, really. So, going to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Yes. So, no matter what Adam did, no matter what Adam did, salvation through Jesus Christ is so much more. So much more. So much more. So don't you ever think for one moment that your sins, that your trespasses, that you, the sinner, cannot be saved.
Amen.
That's that free gift.
Amen.
You can be saved.
Amen.
You are just as important as Adam was. Don't you think for a moment that you're not.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And that's what we have. And that is knowing the future. The future reigning of Jesus Christ. Being with him. Knowing that, you do know he's coming back, right?
That's right.
You do know he's coming back. So, when he comes back, he needs those individuals. I misspoke. He does not need anything. Okay? But what he's coming back for, if I was you, I'd be ready. Now, are we ever really ready? That's your thought for today. Are we ever really ready? I know we ready to cuss somebody out. We quick. We quick. We quick to give a finger. We quick to give a word, and it ain't always holy. We quick. But are we quick to forgive? Are we quick to jump up there and say, send me, Lord, I'll go. Send me to the hospital, Lord, I'll go. Send me to feed the homeless, Lord, I'll go. Are we quick?
How
about you? Think about that. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Salvation. That's your free gift. Salvation.
Thank God.
Now, here's where it really gets good. Salvation is available to all. It does not mean all will be saved. Let's just keep it real. All not going to be saved. God's grace must be received. All mankind, all men are sentenced to death. But there's justification through salvation. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need it.
Amen.
We need it. We gotta have it.
Amen.
We can't live without that.
That's right.
Really?
That's right.
Now, and here's the meat of it. It had to be broken down from verse 12. I had to give you guys some history to know exactly the origin,
yes,
the root,
yes, yes, yes,
of our sins, how it all got started, so that we can understand verse 19, 20, and 21.
Okay.
For by as one man's disobedience,
yeah,
unwilling to hear the word of God,
yeah,
many were made sinners. One man, Adam. What do you say, Pastor Keys? He made sure he took everybody. He was taking everybody with him, didn't he? That's my Bible study I was learning. So, by the obedience, the willingness to adhere.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Obedience, the willingness,
yes,
to adhere,
mm-hmm,
of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
You know, Jesus is bad. He was bad up in heaven before he even came down here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Moreover, the law entered that the office... See, he had to put the law in there because remember in the beginning there was no law. So, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That meant they were going to multiply.
All right.
Your trespasses,
yes,
multiplied when he entered the law in.
Right.
But where sin abound, guess what? Grace did much more abound.
Yeah, right? Hallelujah.
That meant if sin abounds and multiplied, then grace, which is the dispensation of what we're living in today,
right,
saved by grace.
Amen.
It's so much more.
Yeah.
So much more. Do you not think for one minute your sin is greater than your salvation? It does not happen.
Right.
It's not like that.
Right.
Your sin will never be greater than your salvation.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
We need to stop thinking about I am distractions. Lord, I want to do your will.
Glory to God.
But all that I have done, I'm just not in a place to be able to worship you, to be able to serve you, to be able to do your will. That's the distraction. Jesus had a goal.
Come on.
And we're his distractions. Y'all know what his goal was, right? His goal was to be born of the human flesh to show us how to walk, that he understands our problem, which was Adam, from the very beginning, had imposed all of this sinful nature on us. So he came in the human flesh. And in spite of all of the humanity that was within him, the divineness of him decided that he still needed to die. Still need to. He had to. He had to. That's what this one man did.
Right.
All
right.
For all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't stop there.
All right.
He was resurrected.
Yes,
he was.
Man. Yeah.
See, it's not complete unless he gets up. It's not complete until he gets up. So because he was resurrected, that's why we have life, and we have life abundantly. But guess what? You have to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's our goal. That is our goal. Well, there's many distractions. We have jobs that distract us. We have family members that distract us. We have neighbors that distract us. We have strangers that distract us. We have bills that distract us. We have inadequacies that distract us. We have a lot of distractions. And all my life, I have been going through all these distractions, and I couldn't figure out why. As a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a woman, there's been so many distractions in my life, and I could not figure out. And glory be to God until I met this man, and he shared with me the root of my sin. It wasn't me. The root of my sin was Adam. So everything that you go through life is going to be distracting you. Everything that you go through in life is going to be distracting you. Why? Because he does not want you to be in doing the will of God. That is our goal. That's our purpose of life, to do the will of God. And because we are distracted, we can't do his will. Now, think about this. What if you're sitting here and you're distracted, but I need you? How can you do me? How can you help me? How can you tell me about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when you're distracted? Now, I don't miss the mark because of your distraction. I'm lost. I'm a soul that's still lost because you were distracted with what was going on in your life. Is that fair? Is that fair? What did he create us for? What were we created for? We were created to worship him in spirit and in truth. So our spirit man lines up, Brother Sean, and our truthful man keeps it real.
Amen.
We have to. This is distractions and goals. The old man, Romans. That's the old man. The new man, Ephesians 4:17-32. And I'm just going to read this really quick. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walked, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of their blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ. If so, that you have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, then you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let, y'all know who that is, right? That's you. The enemy, which is the inner me. Let not that stole steal no more. Stop letting your own old nature take you out of here. Stop letting them take you. out of here. Everybody want to have an excuse about why they can't do this. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. We have no male excuses. Amen.
You better preach.
But rather let him labor. Work that old nature. Make him work every day. And how to make him work every day is put him under suggestion. Okay? When you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is give praises to the Lord because he woke you up this morning. Didn't have to do it, but he did. So guess what? Everything else is extra. Do you know why I get up every day with a smile on my face? Because I am not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here clothed in my right mind, alive. I'm not. I know this. So I get up every day happy. Trust me, that old nature already knows what you've gone through and probably what you're going to go through again or some more. But guess what? Put him to work. Make him work. And how you make him work is by you continue to give joy, but joy is new. And they show rousing, don't the pastor. Wears his head up and try to make you negative and try to make you a naysayer and try to make you anything that is not of God. He tries to keep you in that state. Make him work. Show him how much more greater God is. Amen. And we almost done. Labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. You are a living, walking testimony. So if somebody can have a bad day and don't even tell you about it, but if they see the God in you and see how happy you are and see how you have overcome, guess what? He's going to do the same thing. They may not tell you about it, but they don't want to know who your God is. They want to know who you serve. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil spirit speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, that's the new man. And your homework is to meditate on it. Because this is what you need to be walking in right here. The newness. That's what you need to be walking in. That's your homework. You do it every day. Every day. Every day, new mercies I see. So, I told y'all I had a riddle for y'all first, right? Okay, so here's the second riddle. Who is one with God, more powerful than the devil? The poor can have him, the rich need him. And if you eat and drink from his table, you'll never die. Who is he? Who? Who? And I'm going to leave you with this last scripture. Philippians. Because don't understand something. It gets hard. Okay? But I don't want y'all to get discouraged. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing. I do. Forgetting those which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before, pressing toward the mark of the, for the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when you're driving in the car, you got this big old windshield, and you got this little bitty rearview mirror that sits right in the midst of this big old windshield. So, in other words, don't lose your focus.
Amen.
On the windshield. But that little bitty rearview mirror, which you look back in, that's your past.
Yeah, all right.
So, you know, you can't see much in that little bitty rearview mirror. All you're supposed to do is glance, right? Drive, glance, yeah. Drive, glance, yeah. Drive, glance. Okay, so that means we don't stay back there in the past.
Yeah.
We keep our sight focused on the big picture. The big picture is Jesus Christ. Now, that's for those who are driving. Now, let's talk about those who don't have a car. Let's talk about those that are walking. Now, when I'm walking, I don't have eyes in the back of my head. I cannot see nothing back there, which means God did not intend for me to be walking backwards. He intended me for me to walk forward. He intended for me to keep moving straight ahead. So that means that's my past. That's where it's going to stay, back there. That's what it is. It's the past. Forget those things that are behind you, what Paul said, and that you cannot do anything, because with Christ you can do any and everything. You keep your head up, and you keep that beautiful smile on your face, and know that you are awfully, beautifully, wonderfully, and uniquely made in God's start.